Great. So thank you all for coming back to the Rav Kook, the Rebbe, and the and from Soloveitchik HaBura. Last week we discussed Olma's Zevers Olma Ba in the Torah of Soloveitchik. And just to quickly recap, Soloveitchik, as we saw in the earlier shiurim, is very focused on halacha as the main source of Jewish philosophy. Halacha, he points out, is very, very Olam HaZeh focused, and therefore Judaism has an Olam HaZeh focused to it. You're not supposed to try to transcend this world. You're supposed to try to live within this world, using the halachic system as a guideline. We saw various advantages which the Rav thought flow from this type of approach. What I didn't do last week, which I probably should have done, is start off with some of their earlier sources, the medieval sources, as to why this is a chiddush in the first place. Meaning, why is it a chiddush that Judaism is this worldly focus? We're supposed to be focusing on Olam HaZeh and not necessarily always thinking about Olam HaBa. And the reason is because a lot of Rishonim don't seem to say that. A lot of Rishonim seem to say that what you're supposed to be doing is thinking about Olam HaBa. That's the goal. That's where your focus is supposed to be. And these sources play more dominant role in the thought of Rav Kook than the thought of Rav Soloveitchik. Again, Rav Soloveitchik is very halachically focused. Olam HaBa is not a halacha category. Halacha is focused on this world. Rav Kook is coming from the world of Kabbalah, from the world of Musar, from other worlds outside of the halachic system. Therefore, he's going to have to deal with a lot of these sources. So let's look at one source, Chovos HaLevavos, which Rav Kook actually quotes this source, as we'll see. We'll see what the Chovos HaLevavos says about the relationship between Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa. So it's a Shar Chashman HaNefesh. You're talking about what you're supposed to think about when you do a Chashman HaNefesh. So it's a Chavakamisha Be'esrim. She'e Chashayiv Im Nafsho al Mashashaka Ba Mi'avas Olam HaZeh. You're supposed to think about that you're such a bad person because you invested your love in this world rather than investing your love in the next world. You're supposed to try to eradicate love for this world from your heart. You're supposed to try to eradicate your love from this world and replace it with your love for the next world. You're supposed to think, where am I going to end up in this world? I'm going to end up in the grave. Where am I going to end up in the next world? I'm going to end up being nena mizav hashchina. V'yishtado l'harkik avas olam hazeh milibo. V'lekayim bo avas olam haba tamei. You're supposed to dislike this world, and you're supposed to love the next world. V'kvar amar echa min hachamim. I don't know who this chacham is. It's Chovos HaLevavos quotes him. Kasher lo yischabu b'chliyachad amayim va'esh. Just like water and fire cannot coexist in the same vessel, kain lo tischabu b'leiv hamamin avas olam hazeh v'avas olam haba. Love for this world, love for the next world, cannot coexist in a person. Olam hazeh v'olam haba k'shtei tzaros kasher tirtza ha'achas mihyan taksef hashinis. When you tilt yourself towards one of your co-wives, the other one is going to get angry. The same is true for olam hazeh and olam haba. This is quoted in various Bali Musar over the course of generations. You might expect it's a very quotable quote. It's a very sharp formulation, and something which makes us inroads. So from the Musar perspective, Chovos HaLevavos, you see Avas Olam HaZeh is a direct stira to Avas Olam HaBa. So let's move away from the Musar role and get to the Kabbalistic world for a second. I can't speak for Kabbalah, but we'll do a little bit of early Chassidus. So one of the Chidushim of the Baal Shem Tov. Something he emphasized was a very basic teaching about the relationship between this world and the next world. So it's focused a lot on Tanya, but we'll work through a mashal that the Baal Shem Tov uses as recorded in Keser Shem Tov. So he starts off. Let's forget about the opening question. Let's just skip to the mashal. So skip down to the third line. The Baal Shem Tov said a mashal prior to blowing the shofar 1 year, which is supposed to have a meaning in terms of the relationship between Hashem and this world. There was a king. He made with an illusion, he made walls, towers, gates. He remained within all of these palaces, all of these gates, and he commanded everybody in his kingdom to try to reach him in the most innermost chamber. And he dispersed his wealth by each gate to try to bribe people to just take the wealth and go back home. Some people who went to the first gate and took money and went back. V'yesh v'chule. And the Baal Shem Tov goes through. Some people got scared away by the gates. Some people got scared away by the tower. Some people got scared away from the soldiers who were standing there. An shebeno yedino is amitz ma'od sheyedek dafka olvit ha'melech. Until the son of the king only wants to reach the king, doesn't care about the wealth, doesn't get scared away. He reaches the most innermost chamber. V'az ra'a she'ein shum mechitza mafzik b'ino levino aviv. Kalkal haya achizaz in hayim. The son touches the king, reaches the king, the most innermost chamber, he turns around, and what does he see? Nothing. Everything was an illusion. Vanim shal muvan. The Kadosh Baruch Hu mistatir b'kam levushim b'mechitzos. What is the basic material from which this world is created? God. From our perspective, it looks like a world. It looks like there are gates. It looks like there are impediments. It looks like there are things which keep us away from Hashem. But once you reach God and you look back from God's perspective, nothing exists other than Hashem. Nothing exists other than Hashem. This is a concept of bitul ha'olamos, as expressed in Tanya, that the Baal Tanya took this idea. And he told his chassidim to focus on it, to spend a couple minutes every day, spend some time every day thinking about the fact that nothing exists other than Hashem, that when I see this desk, I shouldn't see a desk, I should see divinity. When I look at people, I shouldn't see people, I should just see divinity. Because you can't live like this constantly, because you're going to go crazy, you're not going to be able to function in the world. There's another side of the paradox in Tanya. But you're supposed to focus on, be misboning on the concept of bitzol ha'olamos. So much so that when the story goes, that when the Alter Rebbe was on his deathbed, this is a story that the seventh Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, used to quote. When the Alter Rebbe was on his deathbed, his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, was sitting next to him. And he asked his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, look up at the ceiling, what do you see? And the Tzemach Tzedek looked up, and he said, I see beams. I see wooden beams. And the Alter Rebbe said, I don't see beams, I see the letters Kuf Reish Hay. Then he passed away. As he explains in Tanya, that really the basic substratum, the basic material from which everything is created, are the letters of the Alabes, which Hashem spoke, which are connected with the Atzmas Elokas. And therefore, when you get up to the highest levels, when you look around the world, you're not going to see your world. You're going to be mevatel the world. You're just going to see the spiritual substratum. You're just going to see the letters of the Alabes. You're just going to see Elokas. So from that perspective, which again is a very, very dominant perspective in Chabad, so then what value is this world going to have? Do politics matter? Does having a functional economy matter? Does it matter if my world looks beautiful, if there are trees around, or looks like Washington Heights looks? Presumably, it's not going to matter so much. Because in your mind, everything, the ideal reality, the ideal perspective, is a pure elokus. Everything is divine. You're mevatel the world. You don't see anything other than pure elokus. Tanya also focuses on the fact that we're supposed to be mamshach elokus into the world as we see it. For whatever reason, God created this illusion for a reason. And we're supposed to live in the world as if it exists, and we're supposed to bring divinity down into this world. But one side of the great paradox that's described in Tanya is this notion of bitzel ha'olamos. So you see, from our cook's perspective, from two different vantage points, he is the deck is stacked against focusing on olam hazeh. From the Musar standpoint, Chovos Levavos says it's a stira to focusing on olam haba. From the Hasidic vantage point, at least one perspective of Hasidus is bitzel ha'olamos. I don't exist, you don't exist, nothing exists. God is the only thing that exists. This world doesn't really exist. It's all an achizas inayin. It's all an illusion. So what is Rav Kook going to do with these sources? So that's it. First, we're gonna quote a couple of sources which discuss this in general. Then look at the essay where he addresses this most directly. It was one of the first essays he published when he got to Eretz Yisrael, which is Tzimaon Lekel Chai, the first essay in his Zeronim section of Orot. First, let's see how he addresses these actual quotes, at least the first quote from the Chovos Levavos. So this is Kfatzim Ksav Yakadsho, Pinchas Akam, the Vais, because this he wrote before he got to Eretz Yisrael. It says, Lefi HaMurgo B'Limud HaMusar, source number 3, based on what's customary when you learn Musar, Lo Yitachin She'Iskavitz V'Adam Avaz Olam Hazeh V'Avaz Olam Haba, K'Mosh She'Iskavtzu Ha'Ish Ramayim Mechli Aka, Gedivri HaChovos Levavos. Right, he quotes the Chovos Levavos directly. Amnam Yeshno Derek Shlema Yoser. This is one level, but there's a higher level of Avoda. Sh'abas olam hazeh umedes v'milua umekoma ve'erka haroyla. You love olam hazeh to a degree in the level that's roy. Ve'abas olam haba, and you also love olam haba. Amna mitok hafana shlema ve'erka yoser v'hanaleh himavatales begondel yif'asa es'abas olam hazeh v'chol davar shim tavosham tikomota. But you love olam haba more, but it doesn't mean you're mevatel olam hazeh, but your love for olam hazeh cannot detract from your love of Olam Haba. So basically, if my love for Olam Hazeh is going to detract from my love for Olam Haba, if I love ice cream, and I eat ice cream all day, and I'm going to start being chote because I'm too involved in ice cream, so that is going to be a steer to my love of Olam Haba, and it's not going to... That's why the ice cream's there. Yes, thank you. Good, thank you. Then that's going to be a steer to my love of Olam Haba, and therefore I can't have that love. But if my love for Olam Hazeh is not a steer to my love for Olam Haba, so then the higher level is to really love Olam Hazeh as well. This is a path of the Avos, who are called Yasharim, they went straight. Sh'avu k'fiyah m'super v'torah asachayim, m'sasku v'torachayim m'nefesh k'fesa. That they dealt with the Inyani Olam Hazeh. The Avos, they went to war, they had large wealth, they were diplomats, they dealt with people. Or if Kovitz putting all those things in the category of Avos Olam Hazeh, they were not mistayeg, they didn't isolate themselves and go out to a mountain and just focus on Olam Haba. And this is what we should all be striving for. So you see, he quotes the Chavos Lavavos and says that there is a higher path. The question is, what does he do with the Chavos Lavavos? And the Chavos Lavavos obviously probably did not think there was a higher path. So we'll see at the end what he does with these types of sources. Yeah?
The example you gave was that you can love Olam Hazeh. I mean, what is it about you, like, breaking halacha?
Not breaking halacha, where it detracts from your love of Olam Haba.
You only have a certain amount of energy, you only have a certain amount of love, so if you love...
So we're good. So what Rav Kook says over here is, as a general standpoint, let's say love is infinite, I don't know. I'm sure there's a quote like that.
Yeah.
But we're going to see, Rav Kook, we're going to see the philosophical backing behind it, and what the relationship between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba is supposed to be in the next couple of sources. So we're going to see, it's not going to be a stira, they're going to complement each other in a certain way, so your love for Olam Haba is not going to cause you to love certain aspects of Olam Hazeh. So let's look at Shemona Kvasim Aleph Tafsan Machaz. This is quoted in the Kodesh Kili Gimel. This is where Rav Kook sort of admits that there are a lot of tzaddikim who don't love this world. It says, Chachmei Lev Makirim Be'emes as Apsiyo Sh'olam Hazeh Mitzah Atzmo. The Chachmei Lev recognize the zero value of this world, lack of value of this world on its own. They ma'alem as Makshavasam V'tzir Olamam L'ma'ala Olam Haba V'ashro. And they think about the joy and the superiority of the next world. When we talk Shehem Mistaklim, Shakol Ha'avaya Hamshech Echad Yishla. So stage one, they focus on the next world. Stage two, they realize all of the worlds are interconnected. Memeva Na'aseh Olam Hazeh Gamhu Mufur Etzlam. Therefore, this world also, in its connection to the next world, also becomes glorified. We talk Hakim Dershim Tachanel Shachalo. And therefore, what do? They want to fix this world. They want to advance this world. And this is where the drive for culture, for advancing civilization, comes from. What does Rav Kook have to do with politics? Rav Kook, as we saw, was a makobo. He wants to sit there and stand there on a mountaintop and focus on Avas Hashem. He writes about these things, how he struggles to remain involved in mundane activities. But where does it come from? It comes from the fact that you recognize that there's a continuum between the next world and the next world and this world. And then the more you advance this world, the more kedusha, which comes from the next world, which is basically mainly the place of the next world, is going to permeate this world as well. And he's talking about tarbut shaklo, the shaklo shachayo lamazeh. He's talking about advancing this world, but doing that from the perspective of next world. If you love this world, mitzah this world, and you don't think about spirituality at all, so then that's what Rav Kook called afskut shalamazeh mitzah atzmo. This world really on its own doesn't have any value. But if you see it as a continuation from the next world, as on the same spectrum, then you're able to bring Kedusha into this world as well. And we'll see exactly what he means in the next source. Let's just finish up this source. Shetaleba oz v'cha kol ma shegila ruach adam, mitzad avasal kitzana l'ama zem mitzad atzmo, nesha ava zum yusedes ato bel shaker. Ela shadavar nidrash dekiyum olam yishevo, sheyu mishtagim ba'olam, ava yose harvim izah yishev ava mitmidash lema. So, let's bracket that for a second. Let's go on to the next verse because we are running out of time. Good. This next piece is one of the first pieces that Rav Kook wrote when he got to Eretz Yisrael. One of the first pieces he published when he got to Eretz Yisrael. It's a little bit long. We'll probably skip around. But this is a Yisodo stick. Rav Kook himself thought it was a Yisodo stick in his own thought. Again, this is Rav Kook talking. I'm not sure if he had empirical evidence for this, but he says you can only find serenity, you can only find a stable anchor in this world in the divine light, in Hashem. Everything about you, your thoughts, your emotions, your imaginations, your desires, all these things force you to be divine, they force you to connect every aspect of your personality to Hashem. Then you as a person will find fulfillment. Then you will find serenity. You want to find peace of mind? Connect yourself to Hashem. If you set your sights a little bit less than Hashem, then you become like a sea, like a ship that's being thrown about on raging waves. If you want to find serenity, you have to connect yourself to Hashem. Next line, makom nuchatenu rak be'elokim. Want to find peace of mind? You have to connect yourself to Hashem. Great. Let's take the assumption. That's assumption number one. What's the problem? But where is God? What is God? God is so abstract, he's so far, he's so distant, we can't even fathom what God is. Anything which is unfathomable, and anything which we can't even imagine what it's like, it's zero. It doesn't mean anything to us. The ayin ve'eves lutzukah ha'datanuach, and we cannot rest our minds at something which is so abstract, so beyond, that we can't even imagine what it's like. So you find attention. You can only find rest in God, but God is so beyond us that we don't even know where to find God. Therefore, what emerges? This is a fascinating paragraph. Therefore, the majority of talmidei chachamim are weary of spirit. Etc. When the person is only wants to reach God, you only want to reach Hashem, then you're not going to be satisfied with anything less. You're not going to be satisfied with the most justice-filled ma'asim. Even when you're learning Torah, when you're learning Gemara, you're not going to be satisfied with the learning itself. And not with the beauty. I'm feeling because you know it's your term before me. You do those beautiful things. What happens? The world becomes disgusting in the eyes of religious people. What happens? This person, consciously or subconsciously, wants to reach God. This person is a spiritual person. God is so beyond, so far, so distant, that nothing satisfies this person. You could be the biggest tzaddik. You could learn the most Torah. You could see the most beautiful things. But everything is degraded in its value because a person only wants to attach themselves to God, and God is so far beyond. God is so abstract. You have to believe in the God of the Rambam. That's the only model of God that we have. We can't even talk about God in positive attributes. We only talk about what God isn't. It's very hard to relate to. I once had a friend who described this as culture of bittul. Not bittul in terms of like bittul ha'olamos, but bittul in terms of like negating things. Oh, you're going to the sports game, you should really be a night seder. You're a night seder, you're doing bechias, so you should really be learning eon. You're learning eon this way, you should really be learning eon that way. Nothing has any value. Why? Because people want to strive for more. It comes from a good place. They want to attach themselves to something more, but nothing actually satisfies them, and therefore everything loses its value, and everything becomes critical, and the cynicism about this world is what emerges. The world becomes ve'aksa, something which stings them, and the ear of this world, the ear of this world becomes choking. They're searching something that's so beyond their abilities. Something that doesn't exist. Again, ayin is a technical term in Hasidus. Something which is negated, something which doesn't exist. God. We can't even imagine turning something which doesn't exist to something which exists from our perspective. So what is the solution for these people? These people want to connect to God, but God is so far beyond that nothing in this world satisfies them. So here comes the key line. I think you'll find this line in stickers and refrigerator magnets, bumper stickers, and various yeshivos in Israel. We have to show these people, how do they enter into the palace? Derech Hashar, through the gate. Hasharu elokut mitzgaleh ba'olam. What is the gate? Divinity as it is revealed in this world. Ba'olam l'chol yafil l'adro, in the world with all of its beauty, l'chol ruach neshama, in every spirit and soul, l'chol chayit ramas, l'chol sama kofarim, in every flower, l'chol gaim l'macha, in every nation, b'yom v'galav, the sea and its waves, shafari shachag v'adrash ha'marot, because renos kol tziach, in every conversation, for renos kol sofer, in the thoughts of every author, b'dimyonot kol meshorer, in the imagination of every poet, or beginoth kol koshev in the thoughts of every thinker, or kashat kol margish of asarat giburash or kol gibar, in the emotions that we feel, and in the storm, a powerful storm of every hero. Next paragraph, and we'll take a step back. Helakotza el yona, this supernal divinity, shano mishtopakim ha'agil, that we want to reach, to be balabi kirvat, to be small within it, yosef el ora, to be gathered into its light, when we cannot fulfill our desires, this descends for us into the world. We find it, we recognize it, and we get pleasure in its love. That's how we can find serenity, that's how we can find peace of mind. So what's going on over here? Rav Kook says, don't search for the God that's beyond, that's so abstract that you can't relate to. Search for God as God is revealed in this world, in every aspect of this world. He's not talking about just learning Torah. He's talking about every blade of grass. Talking about Hikiganos, Kosel, Ferris. Talking about anything you read, any conversation you have, any emotion which you feel, is a way to connect to God. Basically, what's going on over here is Rav Kook is taking the concept, the Hasidish concept of Bitzel HaOlamos, the unity between God and the world, Moch Aretz Kelodo, and turning it on its head. Again, in Tanya, one of the major themes is that God and the world are the same thing. The world is found within God. God exists beyond the world, but the world is found within God. And therefore, what ramification does it have in my perspective on this world? Bitzel, I don't see a desk. I just see the Hebrew letters, the Aleph Beis, the spiritual substratum of that desk. For Rav Kook, what does that mean? I see the desk. I see the desk as a desk. I see a tree as a tree. I see that beam as a beam. But I recognize that beam, which I see as a beam, is one spark of divinity, is one manifestation of God. And I look around this world and see that in everything that I encounter, every emotion that I feel, every thought that I think, everything which I see or perceive or hear about, itself on its own is a form of divinity, is a spark of God that can connect me to Hashem. So you see, he's taking the Hasidic concept. He's taking the concept of the world is an Achiz Asinayim, because everything is God, and turning it on its head. Don't do Bitzel HaOlamos. Rav Kook hardly ever talks about Bitzel HaOlamos, even though he's quoting all the sources that talk about it. This is what Dr. Smadar Shurlot points out in her book. Rav Kook is quoting the Alter Rebbe over and over again. He's quoting all these earlier Kabbalistic sources, quoting the Hasidic sources. One major concept that he doesn't talk about is Bitzel HaOlamos. Because Rav Kook took the same idea, the unity between the world and God, panentheism, turned it on its head, and said, if you want to attach yourself to God, do it through this world, and not by being about to this world. You see how the idea could be spun in two different directions. The Rav Kook goes through how we don't always see the world in this way. Sometimes we get a flash. We feel divinity. We see divinity in this world. Other times we don't see God in this world. But you have to train yourself to view the world in this way, to see divinity, everything that exists in this world. And ultimately, and if you with these flashes of inspiration where you feel it, where you perceive it, and train yourself cognitively to see the world this way, you're going to be able to satisfy your desires for the Kus, not by going beyond the confines of this world, but right here in this world. So you see what Rav Kook is doing. The connection between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba is not that Olam Hazeh is a place of spirituality, it's a place where you're nenem isa bashkina, and that's for Olam Haba, and Olam Hazeh is against that. But the whole point is that in this generation, as we're going to see, we're supposed to find Elokos as it gets revealed in this world. And we're going to see this has major ramifications for Rav Kook, in terms of the way we perceive nature, in terms of the way we perceive politics and society as a whole, in terms of the way we perceive ourselves, our own natural desires. Nothing should be fought against. The word teva, in previous Jewish philosophy, usually, often, has either a neutral or negative connotation. Teva is meant to be broken. For Rav Kook, teva is one of the most kaddish words he uses. It has to be guided. It has to be checked in some ways. But teva is a holy word. Part of the whole return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael is the return to Kedushas HaTeva, as we will see in various sources. And for Rav Kook, it's not that this idea is something which all the earlier sources just missed, and he's like the first person to realize it. Rav Kook, this is supposed to be part of the process of the revelation of ideas in Jewish philosophy and Kabbalah. Earlier generations were supposed to focus on spirituality. We're supposed to not think of this world necessarily as the most positive place. They're supposed to constrict themselves to Da'al Almas Valacha and not necessarily care or not necessarily focus on what's going on beyond that. They're supposed to live like the Kabbalah Sobabo says. It's in this generation, as we get closer to Moshe Mashiach, because Am Yisrael returns to Eretz Yisrael, that all these ideas are supposed to be manifest, and all these ideas are supposed to slowly but surely be integrated back into your average Jew's consciousness. Look at source number 6, who basically says this explicitly. This is a piece which is published in Mamre HaRiya. It's a bunch of essays, and in the back they put in some simple statements. He's going to quote a different quote from Kabbalah Sadavos, and we're going to see what he does with it. Says Igiyah Zman Afarsein Ba'olam. The time has come to publicize in the world. Shakodesh. The holiness, those ideals that are supposed to be desired by every tzaddik, ideals which you think cannot exist in this world, it itself gets its nourishment from secular things. Everything gets nourished from what's below it on the food chain. Kedusha has to be nourished, has to be built upon the physical world. For us, we're going to talk about the relationship between Kodesh and Chol in the Torah Rakak, also a major leitmotif. Buzz Yavo HaTor Ba'olam, and then the time is going to come, Shiruach HaKodesh U'Shifat HaKodesh, that Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, its aspirations for holiness, you have Gormim HaAdirim Nevinyan HaOlam Shecholo. These are going to be the great factors, the great motivators, the great drivers for building the world and advancing the world. Then it's going to be removed from the world, this ancient curse that is revolved on the world, that lays on the world. And it's vatayt by Ma'amar philosophy and Musteri shal chasid ha-chobos ha-babos. He's quoting the chobos ha-babos, we're going to see the quote, he calls it a curse that laid on the world for generations, which right now, in the early 1900s, is finally being uplifted. What's the quote from the chobos ha-babos? It's actually there, you can check it up. Shekol ma shemosef ha-olam yishuv, mosef ha-seichel chorban. The more you advance civilization, whatever yishuv means, the more you're increasing chorban to your seichel, to your abstract and spiritual forces. Now is the time when the curse is being uplifted, when the Seichel and Yishuv HaOlam should be walking together. And finally, Hashem will be able to be happy in all of His creations. So you see, for Rav Kook, it's a very different story than Rav Soloveitchik, even though they end up in a very similar place. Rav Soloveitchik, halacha is focused on this world, that's what we're supposed to be focusing on. Rav Kook comes with all this baggage, so to speak, all this earlier Jewish philosophy that's negating the value of Olam Hazeh, and we're going to discuss particularly what that means in the future. Rav Kook is taking these ideas, shifting them, and saying now is the time we're supposed to be experiencing the divinity of this world, understanding the divine nature of this world, supposed to be using these ideas to be mevatel this world, using this world as a basis for Kedusha, as opposed to assuming the two things are antagonistic. So, thank you so much. And I hope everybody experiences the divinity of this world in their college classes in the afternoon.